Samaritan's purse does more than deliver shoeboxes to children around the world. It also sends, for example, medical teams to situations of dire need. And some years ago, it dispatched a man named Dr. Dan Mullen to the Rwandan border to assess the needs of that area in the wake of that horrific war, the carnage there. Now, Dr. Mullen was pretty well versed as a physician in seeing many horrible things, but nothing prepared him for the scene before him. Standing on a bridge below Kasuma Falls in the Kagera River on the Rwandan border, he looked up and saw hundreds of bodies cascading over the falls. These bodies came under him and passed under review, this horrific, grotesque parade. Bodies mutilated and maimed in every grotesque conceivable way, many of them children. And as he beheld this macabre scene passing below him, he began to sob. He began wrenching cries in the presence of such overwhelming evil. And he understood why our Lord prayed unto the Father, "Deliver us from evil." He rode into Rwanda, into one of the first villages there, and he said it was entering a surrealistic evil scene. There was no noise, no laughter, no sound whatsoever, and everyone's faces were blank. The emotion leached out of them in the wake of the horror they had witnessed and experienced. Dr. Mullen wrote in his journal, "Evil is real. Evil is intensely real." And he understood again that phrase of Jesus cried out, "Deliver us from evil." There are those actually in the world today who don't really believe in the reality of evil. There are some philosophers who say that it's just a word for the destructive energy that must enter the created order. But anyone who has truly looked at the world in all of its horror, in all of its depth and complexity, knows there are certain scenes that can only be described in the word evil. Even an agnostic philosopher like Paul Shore said that the reality of evil has made him doubt his doubt. Because evil is not just the absence of good. It is a power inimical to good. He said, "Let us call evil for what it is, something with a dynamic capacity to do harm, to resist that which is healthy and positive." He said, when you get right down to it, even though it's not politically correct, even though it has biblical overtones, even though it sounds judgmental, there is a reality afoot in the world that can only be described by evil. It's the only word that will do. And Jesus prayed, "Deliver us from evil." Actually, that verse can be translated two ways: deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil. The evil one. Now in the Bible there are two names for the evil one, and both have evolved over time in the biblical understanding. One is Satan, which originally was just a word for adversary. Just a word. It wasn't a proper name. It was just a word meaning adversary. And even in Job, Satan as a person is regarded as a son of God in Job 1:6. But the biblical understanding evolved that the Satan, the adversary, became the prosecutor of humanity in the court of God. The adversary, inimical to human purposes and to the purposes of God, the prosecutor of humanity and its good ends. The other word for the evil one, diablos, tempter, which again originally just simply meant slanderer, one who tells lies. But the concept evolved into diablos, the devil, one who tells lies about God and about humanity. Taken as a whole, the adversary, the slanderer, are those who oppose and prosecute humanity, the adversary of God, the adversary of humanity, who slander God, who slander humanity, and try to disrupt the relationship between the divine and the human, to try to lure us toward that which is evil and destructive. And over against that, Jesus, who knew the evil one, prayed, "Deliver us from the evil one." Now, there are many, even in the Christian community, who have trouble conceiving of the reality of the evil one. But to me, if we really believe, if we are here to worship and celebrate today a spirit of good, a spirit of light, a spirit of life, how difficult is it to conceive of a spirit of darkness, a spirit of death, a spirit of evil? It strikes me that there is a primordial force at work that seeks to bring about destruction, that seeks to bring about annihilation, that seeks to bring about chaos. And that force is real. And the only word that can describe it is evil. And the prayer of our Lord is a prayer of advice to us: deliver us from evil. I think of a philosopher who said, in the modern world, our reluctance to call evil what it is, our reluctance to call the evil one what he is, means that we experience a dimension of destruction for which we have no proper name. Helmut Thielicke, preaching to his congregation in Germany at the end of World War II, said, "Yes, modern preachers, modern theologians, we have to apologize for using the term the evil one." But then he looked at his congregation and said, "You should have no trouble understanding it. You have seen an abysmal, mysterious power moving people, corrupting people in a direction they did not intend to go. You have seen people, good and decent people, be caught up in an alien spirit that took them toward destruction when they were by nature good and reasonable. You and I have felt," he said, "an invisible hand passing a cup of poison from nation to nation, creating confusion." "You don't believe in the demonic," he said. "Look at the world. Look at the world we have experienced and see if the reality we have experienced does not fit the biblical description of the demonic." I ran across the testimony some years ago of a great black preacher in Atlanta who dealt with street people. And he said, once the power of evil gets in some lives, some young people, you wouldn't recognize them even if you were their own parent. He said, you look at some of them and you look through their eyes, and the only description that fits their life is the biblical description of the demoniac, legion. Because the forces of destruction are great within them. deliver us from evil.
But that is a complicated prayer. Because we're not only saying, Lord, deliver us from the evil one, the evil we do not know, but deliver us from the evil that we do ourselves. We have a tendency, a proclivity to rebel against the will of God, to run the other direction when called. And we have a tendency to see evil really as a prelude to good. As T.S. Eliot said, we pray, deliver us from evil, so we don't do the right thing for the wrong reason. Go back to the desert. Jesus is meeting the evil one. Remember what the tempter offered him? He said, look, I will give you dominion over the world. You don't have to rule badly, rule well. I will give you the power to turn stones into bread, to feed the hungry, do justice. I'll give you dominion as you can coerce the Romans. You need not fear their power. Your disciples need not cower before them. The church doesn't need to be lost in the catacombs. You don't need to face torture and death and horrible executions. Your church doesn't need to be persecuted. You can rule. Just rule my way. How much evil could have been avoided? How much good could have been accomplished? If Jesus had just taken Satan up on the offer. But he knew the evil that seemed good was really evil. And he chose instead the path of suffering love that led to the cross. Many times, evil comes to us with a very pleasant face. Evil very seldom wears an ugly dress. But even though evil promises pleasure, we know behind it is the spirit of destruction. And so we appropriate the wisdom of our Lord who teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil. These words really are rooted in words that you and I have been taught since we were itty bitty. The words, help. Help me. From the time we're tiny, when we're in trouble, we cry out, help. That's what this phrase is about. Deliver us from evil is a cry of help, Lord. Our capacity to resist evil is limited. Our weakness in the face of temptation is real. Deliver us from evil. And if our souls feel an urge to cry out for help, for deliverance, we presuppose a deliverer. Someone who can impart us the power to resist the power of darkness and to see through the false facade of wickedness. Jesus takes our basic cry, help, and gives it a profoundly theological cast. And when he uses the language, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that's the language of slavery. We are redeemed from our slavery through Christ. But when he uses the language, deliver us from evil, he is using a term employed in military conquest. Defeat evil. Vanquish it forever and free us from its thrall.
Some years ago, a counselor in Texas named Andy Lester wrote a great article in Baptist Today about one of his counselees, a friend of his who was struggling with cancer, and she said to Andy, "I need a warrior God. An evil force has entered my body, is trying to take my life, and I need a warrior God to fight within me on my behalf, to deliver me from evil and death. Help. Help." When we use this phrase, "deliver me from evil," we are reminded that our God is involved in a cosmic battle against the power of evil in our world. And when we pray this prayer, we are asking to be enlisted as soldiers in behalf of good and light and life. When we pray, "deliver me from evil," we're asking to be an instrument of good, a positive force that battles hatred and greed and injustice and cruelty and ignorance and destruction. We are claiming the power of hope. We're here on the All Saints' Day to honor those in our fellowship who have passed, transitioned from our presence into God. And some of those transitions fit the normal pattern of things. But some of those transitions struck us as heart-wrenching, surprising, shocking, and untimely. And there is a tendency in the wake of such events to despair. But the prayer, "deliver us from evil," is our grasping God's resurrection hope that we will not despair. We will not give up. We will not give in. Darkness will not quench us. We will be soldiers for the light. We really believe, we know in fact, deliverance does happen, healing does occur, reconciliation is effected, peace is accomplished, redemption is claimed, estrangement is dissolved. There are moments when God's deliverance breaks into the world and we reclaim hope again. Deliver us from evil is not a vain prayer. It is a holding to God's eternal hope. Dr. Mullen returned to Rwanda several months after a group of folks had been working there to rebuild that society. He entered that same little village that he entered the first time, and he said, "The change was astounding. Laughter filled the air. The marketplace was busy and bustling. And in a little bullet-pocked church, the pews were full. And coming out of that church were hymns sung in magnificent harmony. Deliverance is real." They had appropriated the claim of our Lord, "deliver us from evil and the evil one's influence." And that is what we seek to do when we pray the prayer of our Lord. Be those who claim God's hope and serve as soldiers for light. May we pray together. Lord, on this day, we claim the fact that you are a God of the living and not the dead. That you are a God of eternal promise, and our hope in you is not vain, and your deliverance is sure. May we pray the prayer that your Son taught us to pray with honesty and courage and the ability to claim your hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God has challenged you through the words of our Lord, claim this Christ and His victorious power. Claim Him as Savior and Lord. Come into this fellowship and be nurtured, even as you nurture us through your gifts by transfer of letter or statement. Come, make church with us, even as we stand.